This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. Welcome to 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. I am Peter Scoop Stanton with my partner in crime, Walter Yerkew. Walter, how are we doing this fine day?
We're doing pretty good, my friend. We're doing pretty good. Our producers and sponsors of our show are telling me that I'm coming in a little muffled sometimes on
right.
I guess. My apologies. My studio is in the middle of the boondocks, and they are working supposedly on improving internet service out here in the Southern Tennessee radio studios. So I'm trying to get that rectified, but I'll do the best I can. If you lose me, I'll try to get back on as soon as I can. Even got people on Facebook telling me. Things and right now, the only thing I guess I could do is climb the pole like Eddie Arnold did in
Green Acres.
Speaking of Green Acres, it should have been Zsa Zsa Gabor on the pole. You know, not Eddie Arnold. that was my prepubescent girlfriend. So anyway, enough of that. Let's move on to much better things than what I have to say.
Right. Okay. It's been a rough week here on 7-5 Radio. First, our family member Brandon Godsey, who's the announcers at one of the announcers over at I-75 Raceway. He lost his grandfather and an uncle in automobile accidents. This week, so please keep him and his fiance and the whole Godsey family in your prayers. Secondly, it's been one of the worst weeks in law enforcement. Five cops were murdered in 4 days, and I really don't know where to begin. As you can tell, I'm very saddened, but I'm also very upset. I mean, this. We've been doing this for going on 5 years now, remembering those murders in the line of duty for law enforcement because nobody else remembers. If you look on our website, 75radio.org, you can read the latest blog entry called America, the Killing Fields. But anyways, while the media is too busy talking about the Trump impeachment fiasco, everyone except Fox News and the good people on social media let us know of this travesty of, again, five cops killed in 4 days, murdered in 4 days. Here are the names that people like Joe Scarborough, Chris Matthews, Rachel Maddow, Wolf Blitzer, Don Lemon, Fredo Cuomo are too busy, will not mention because they're too busy trying to take down Trump. And as we record the show, we're watching the House Judiciary Committee talk about voting on articles of impeachment. It's still a big clown show. But here's the people that we lost this week. Agent Billy Carty, Huntsville, Alabama Police Department. End of watch, December 6, 2019. His killer is in custody. Sergeant Christopher Brewster, Houston, Texas Police Department. End of watch, December 6, 2019. His killer is in custody. Police Officer David Carr, Fayetteville, Arkansas Police Department. End of watch, December the 10th, 2019. His killer is DOA. Detective Joseph Seals, Jersey City, New Jersey Police Department. End of watch, December 10th, 2019. His killer is DOA. Sergeant Kalia Sullivan, the Nassau Bay, Texas Police Department. End of watch, December 10th, 2019. Sergeant Sullivan was killed when some piece of human debris decided to run her down with his car. He is a fugitive on the run. He is believed to be headed in the direction of Louisiana. If you look on social media and look at his picture, you'll just shake your head. But then speaking for Detective Seals, some local piece of, you know what, from a fish-wrap newspaper in New Jersey, annotated all of Detective Seals' civilian complaints. Detective Seals' primary duty is to get guns off the streets of Jersey City. Now, Jersey City is not Georgetown, the Upper West Side of Manhattan, or Pacific Heights in San Francisco. It is a typical majority black asshole ran by Democrats for over half a century. Police have to use a force to effect arrests. While our cops are being gunned down in the streets, the useless Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee, like I said before, led by Jerry Nadler, is too busy running a clown show to talk about protecting our cops. 5 years after the murder of Detectives Lou and Ramos, it is still open season on cops. It is still the usual suspects who are our accomplices. Bill de Blasio, Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, and every other big city mayor who turned their back to police. And the media has been no help. A cop is killed, it doesn't fit the narrative. A cop kills a white person, still doesn't fit the narrative. A cop kills an unarmed minority, jackpot. A black cop kills an unarmed minority. Guess what? That still doesn't fit the narrative. People, like, it's up to us. We need help, the men and women, to protect us. Get involved. Buy that man or woman a cup of coffee or a meal. Say thank you to them. But most of all, help them when they need help. Put the phone away and help those officers and deputies. I can honestly say I've helped the police half a dozen times by getting involved as a citizen. 2 weeks ago, I went to the mall with my two small kids when local police were summoned for a nut job, making a fool of himself, yelling and screaming. Now, I was really in a pickle. Do I rush in if the cops start rolling on the floor, or do I stand back and protect my kids? Now, fortunately for me, the nut job came to his senses and complied and left the building. And back to Detective Seals, we had a shooting of a police officer and people of the Jewish faith simply because a member of the Black Israelite community, or which is a cult, decided to go start shooting them up. But there's been no call for more gun control. You didn't see David Hogg all over social media, all over the media. No calls for people in Congress to ban more guns because, again, it doesn't fit the narrative. Now, if it was a Christian shooting a Muslim, you know, there we go. Or if it was a cop shooting a minority, there you go. They'd be all over call for more legislation. But, you know, it's just, I'm just getting sick and tired of, you know, the same old, same old. We got to read names every single week and nothing's been done. Well, what do you want to add to this?
You know, it's a sad day every day when a police officer is murdered, you know, in the line of duty.
Well, hold that thought. I'm sorry. We're going to our first break. We'll talk more about this, talk about impeachment, talk about Howard Stern and Hillary Clinton. All right, this is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back talking about five cops murdered in 4 days. Before we went to commercial, Walt was about to bring his opinion up. Walt, go ahead.
Yeah, it's always a sad day when you have a police officer murdered in the line of duty. These people wake up every morning and, you know, they kiss their loved ones goodbye. And these days you don't know, even in the old days, you don't know if you're coming home or coming home, you know, with the same amount of holes you went to work with. Good God, these people out there, it's like the Wild West. You know, a few weeks ago I did a lecture over here in Southern Tennessee with a law enforcement agency, and you know, there's 150 cops in that arena, and if not more. And holy cow, the odds are against them. These cops all over the country, the odds are against them. You know, I'm not privy to the orders or the interim orders that they get from their superiors in each individual department. But I remember when I was in East New York in the 7-5, we were told not to make any more drug callers. We were told not to focus more on domestic issues and DUIs, because DWIs was relatively new back in the mid 80s. It seemed like they wanted us to do less than what we're supposed to do. These five cops gave their life for not doing the less that they're expected to do. They gave their lives because there are bad people out there. And when you handcuff a cop, so to speak, you know, pardon the remark in that. When you put handcuffs on a cop out in the street, you know, it's just a bad mix. It's not going to work. I think the police officers need to be cut loose and let them do what they need to do and stop the damn hesitations that are going on. Stop giving them all these anti-death weapons like the taser and the mace, all these things that, you know, they're not working. You know, you shoot somebody, shoot them in the leg. And if you shoot them in the leg and you hit a femoral artery and he bleeds out, well, all too bad. You know, we were trained to kill when we were in the police department up in Rodman's Neck in the Bronx, where the NYPD trains firearms. And we were trained for head shots and chest shots. There wasn't no arm shots or leg shots. It was head shots and chest shots. And when you are fighting somebody with a gun, you need to kill them. You need to get rid of that dirt, that garbage. That's our swamp that we need to drain. And it seems like the swamps of the street are filling up again with these people that, you know, they're growing balls so big that they're dumping water on cops. And they're growing balls so big that they're shooting cops down dead. We can't have that anymore. We can't have that anymore. You know, we got a new police commissioner up there in New York, and I haven't heard, you know, beans out of him except that he went to go visit Al Sharpton. So I think we need to move on and get back to the old days where it's us against them and take care of us before we take care of them.
You're absolutely right, Walter. But one of the reasons why that law enforcement is trained no longer kill, but to stop the perpetrator, because it's a legal issue. You know, they don't want to go to court and say, Officer Yerkew, were you trained to kill people with your firearm? And you're supposed to say on the stand, no, I was trained to stop the individual from doing whatever he was doing. Also, you know, in terms of training, we're still trained to shoot center of mass, which means the biggest target. Because, frankly, Walter, you've been in two gunfights. Whenever you pull out that gun for real and it's about to go down, and you're depressing that trigger, you know, you got tunnel vision. Your adrenaline goes through the roof. Your blood pressure goes through the roof. You start to sweat, and you know that's what. Your motor skills go down to almost zero. But instead of saying, oh, yeah, I was trained to shoot him in the head or shoot him in the chest, no, they're also trained to say center of mass. So when the cops do to go Rodman's neck or whatever range that they go to, they're trained to, it's muscle memory, it's trained to say, no, we're trained to stop an individual, and we're trained to shoot center of mass. That way it's a it's – so when they do go to a court, so when, like, the Bronx Defenders take some poor cop that had to discharge his weapon, they're going to pull out the academy instructor and say, Instructor Stanton, did you train Officer Yerkew to kill people? No, this is right here in our SOPs or patrol guide. No, we're officers are MOS is supposed to use the firearms to stop an individual from hurting somebody else. Instructor Stanton, did you train Officer Yerkew to shoot in the head or shoot in the chest? No, says here in our patrol guide or our SOPs, we're trained to shoot center of mass, which is the biggest target, because unlike at a shooting range where you have a paper target, you know, the targets on the street move. But anyways, that's where I right now. And again, you know, I can't believe back in the 7-5, back in the day, they said go after drunk drivers. I don't think too many people were driving drunk in the 7-5 back in the day, as opposed to buying narcotics. But you know, that's politics for you. I mean, you know, unfortunately, politicians also run the police departments. And in terms of Commissioner Shea, I'm disappointed too. He went. First order of business, go visit Al Sharpton. So there goes, you know, there's the confidence of New York's finest. But anyways, moving right along from one criminal enterprise to another, I'm watching the impeachment, vote on impeachment for President Donald Trump, and it is just a clown show. They're going to impeach Donald Trump for abuse of power and obstruction of justice, where they have absolutely no evidence. Abuse of power is not anywhere on any law book in the United States Code or USC. And there's no, and I don't know where the obstruction of justice is, because other than Donald Trump refusing to cooperate because with the committee, because again, it's a clown show. But anyways, it's just been an absolute disaster all for months now. Just to let people know, we still don't have a budget for 2020. January 1st is a new what they call fiscal quarter, even though the The federal budget begins October 1st, but it runs every 3 months, October 1st, January 1st, and so on and so forth. But we have no money coming January 1st, so contractors and people that depend on the government contracts to make sure that they provide whatever service that agreed upon between the government and the company, they're sweating bullets. Federal employees should be sweating bullets because, again, we don't have a – not only do we not have a budget, we don't have a spending bill, and it's getting close to the end of the year. But you can – Jerry Nadler and his crew was up there voting on our articles of impeachment. Also, early this week, we had Nancy Pelosi come out with Jerry Nadler, Elliot Engel, Maxine Waters, and Shifty Shift, and some other Democrat from New York to talk about articles of impeachment. Everybody on that day is talking about articles of impeachment, saying that they're voting for obstruction of justice and abuse of power, was either from California or New York. So a good representation of the Democrat Party. And then you got guys, Schiff, Nadler, and Engel are all Jews. So you have half the people up there Jews. You got these liberal Jews from the Eastern Left Coast voting on articles of impeachment but anyways, that's how it goes. That's your government today. We're going to have elitists from the East and West Coast to tell Middle America what's good for them. And we're coming on our next break. We're going to be talking about the Howard Stern and Hillary Clinton interview and what we think of both people. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. Take away, Ray.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Following a rare evening hearing, the debate on articles of impeachment against President Trump has resumed on Capitol Hill. Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee accusing the president of abusing his power and obstructing Congress. Republicans say otherwise. Republican Representative Matt Gaetz telling the Democrats on the panel,
I don't know any political party that doesn't think when the other side's in the White House that they abuse power, they do too much. I got a lot of constituents that think Barack Obama abused his power, but you know what? We didn't do this to the country. We didn't put him through this nonsense and this impeachment.
Reports of a possible trade deal with China. The Wall Street Journal reporting the U.S. is agreeing to not impose tariffs that were scheduled to begin this Sunday if the Chinese agree to purchase more U.S. goods. The Dow's been up over 300 points in early trading today. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Rootwall.com.
A just-released economic report from the Labor Department claims inflation at the producer level did not change much in November. Food and gas prices were up, but the producer price index indicates they were offset by a decrease in the cost for services. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve policymakers held their final meeting of the year yesterday and decided to leave interest rates unchanged. Here's the Fed Chairman, Jerome Powell.
We believe that the current stance of monetary policy will support sustained growth, a strong labor market, and inflation near our symmetric 2% objective.
A suspended fraternity at the University of Central Florida facing hazing allegations. At least one complaint made in the last 3 months claiming a pledge at Sigma Chi was forced to use cocaine. The university is investigating, saying hazing in any form is unacceptable. Find us online anytime or at usaradio.com.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
All right, we are back on 7-5 Radio. The impeachment hearing is still going on. Both sides are pointing at each other, yelling and screaming. It's still a clown show. Jerry Nadler has no control. It's a runaway committee from the House. But anyways, this past week, Howard Stern interviewed Hillary Clinton. You may ask yourself why, because Howard Stern is known for his crude humor, outrageous radio bits, and weirdo super fans. But over the years, Stern has changed to something else. He's now a Hollywood insider. He's hosting these no-talent shows on network television, appearing on The View to promote his book, and hanging out with all sorts of A-list celebrities, and spending summers in his fortress in the Hamptons. Years ago, he had no part of this any of his activities, and would just have made rude, crude, and funny bits out of them. But Howard Stern is, turning into a hostess on The View. Hillary came in on the Stern show to promote a book about powerful women she co-wrote, with her daughter, Chelsea Clinton, who, if you look really, really close, looks more like Webster Hubble than Bill Clinton. But while on the Stern show, she talked about Bill, Bernie Sanders losing in 2016. She raked Lindsey Graham over the coals. She talked about her family, her upbringing, meeting Martin Luther King Jr., and for whatever reason, out of the blue, she mentions that she's never had a lesbian relationship with a woman. Yeah, right. But here's what was left out. Benghazi, the 30,000 emails, the Steele dossier, Monica Lewinsky, Eleanor Bondale, Jeffrey Epstein's, victims of Bill's sexual harassment and out-and-out rape, the Clinton Foundation's pay-for-play, Whitewater, the Rose of Law Firms, Vince Foster, Seth Rich, the way she treats the Secret Service agents, and the her poor performance as a Secretary of State and Senator from New York, and the 5 dozen-plus bodies tied to her and Bill as part of the Clinton crime family. Now, 20 years ago, Hillary would never have been on Stern because Howard would have ripped her a new one. But Howard is turning into Don Imus. I used to love Howard Stern when I was much younger. Stern had the pulse of the working man, the cop, the fireman, the contractor, the steel worker, the welder, so on and so forth. He also went there and said that. I remember driving into work, listening to Stern in the mornings, and these two other co-workers or nerds, when they were coming to work, they were listening to Scott Pettengill on WPLJ, which was night and day. But Stern also supported the cops, firemen, talked about 1013s and smokers, which are benefits for New York's finest and New York's bravest. And then he also stated years ago he would never vote Democrat again. Today, no more. Stern sold out to Hollywood, the Hollywood elite, and I'm a current serious subscriber, and I do not listen to Howard Stern, and I have not listened to him in years. Now, a little bit more about Stern. 20 years ago, CBS Radio syndicated Stern and Opie Anthony on their networks. Stern was on the morning, Opie Anthony were on in the afternoon. It was a ratings juggernaut in New York for CBS and across the country. But Stern did everything in his power to sabotage Opie and Anthony. Fast forward to satellite radio, Opie and Anthony was able to trash Stern until the merger of Sirius and XM Radio. Opie and Anthony, as long as with all the other talent, was forbidden to mention Stern. Greg Opie Hughes and Anthony Cumia were eventually fired, and I think Stern had a huge hand in their termination. Now, for decades, Howard Stern said he was for free speech, but it's for his free speech only. Howard Stern has done nothing for anyone in the radio business, and he's done everything to sabotage people like Opie and Anthony, as you see is the competition. Howard Stern has done nothing for anyone and treated his staff like absolute garbage. People used to work for him, such as Jackie the Joke Man Martling, Steve Grillo, Billy West, Artie Lang, and Stuttering John Menendez have nothing but awful things to say about Stern, except they want to thank him for actually giving him a job in the start. I used to clown Stuttering John on Twitter, but then I started doing research and then listened to some of the podcasts he was on talk about Stern. Now, Stuttering John was on Stern, and he was on The Tonight Show, and Melendez has nothing but good things to say about Jay Leno, and absolutely nothing but bad things to say about Stern. But the real kicker was last year, one of his producers, Scott Salem, a.k.a. Scott the Engineer, needed $50,000 for his wife's cancer treatment. His wife of 30 years was dying of cancer, and he needed some help badly. Now, numerous rumors from the Stern camp said not only did Stern not mention anything on the air, not only did Stern not give one nickel out of his pocket, but he refused to let Scott the Engineer go on GoFundMe and use the name Scott the Engineer. Needless to say, Mrs. Salem did not get the $50,000 she needed, and she did pass away from her cancer treatment, so... That's Howard Stern in a nutshell, and I absolutely, personally detest Howard Stern, not because of what he did, because he was a pioneer in radio, but just the person that he is. Walt, what's your take on Stern and or Mrs. Clinton in this crap interview?
Well, just to start off, I think they all suck. You know, Howard Stern, you know, like you, you know, when I was a lot younger, I listened to him. I listened to him in the early 80s when he was on WNBC in New York. Now it's WFAN. He did the afternoon show, and I would listen to him on my way home from work when I was in the Carpenters Union every afternoon. Him and Robin Quivers, they always had some kind of a guest on. They even had the black janitor, female janitor, come on. And you know, and they would kibitz her and make fun of her on the way she talked and the way she said business and she said business. You know, it was humorous to listen to him, you know, in the early days. However, you know, like anything, when you start at the bottom and work your way to the top, and, you know, he has, like you said, worked his way to the top, but, you know, he ran over a few people on the way. Then he disappeared. Then he was on, 102 something FM. And then in the late 80s, you know, and he just moved along. And he appealed to the audience because what he was bringing to his radio show was different. You know, the shock jock stuff. You know, he'd bring all these transvestites on, and he had that night show on
WR.
On WOR TV in New York. Then he'd have like Hollywood Squares, which, you know, transvestite would be in the center square, and, you know, there might be Whoopi Goldberg in one square, or, you know, so you know, the squares were filled up with weirdos, and he'd ask, you know, weird ass questions, you know, and he gravitated from that when he started to lose, you know, listeners, and then of course the serious radio and the XL or whatever the hell radio show it was, and now he's in bed with the Clintons, you know. It's a vision I don't want to have in my mind, you know, because then he'd be having a threesome with Hillary and Chelsea, and that would
be like, you know? Oh boy.
And you know, he's gravitated to where he doesn't have a listening base anymore, you know, of people of, you know, my age and your age, a little younger, that grew up with his, you know, shenanigans and the anti-establishment kind of move. So he's moved into the spare bedroom of the Clinton household now. So So he is trying to be part of the Hollywood A-list, and he's going to be accepted. He's going to be accepted, and the reason he's going to be accepted is because he's a traitor. He went from, I'm never going to vote Democrat again, to, you know, he wouldn't kiss a Democrat on the face, you know, 30 years ago. Now he's kissing their ass. He is a fake. Okay, he is a fake Democrat. He was a fake Republican. He ain't nothing but a lowly POS. He trashes the people now that used to listen to him, and now he just adores and gives them gifts of the people that he wants to listen to him now, you know, such as the Clintons and such. So,
right, Rosie O'Donnell.
He's rubbing elbows to get back on top again. So, and that's my Andy Rooney for the day.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about Virginia counties becoming sanctuaries. But it's some good news. We'll be right back on 7-5 Radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards and John Anderson. But Before the break, I was talking about Virginia counties declaring themselves sanctuaries. Now, we've heard about sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, sanctuary everything, because they want to do everything for a legal alien, nothing for the American citizen. But in Virginia, the Commonwealth is going through a major, major change of demographics. Virginia was dark red for the longest time, but with the explosion of the D.C. suburbs of Arlington County, Fairfax County, Loudoun County, Prince William County, and cities of Alexandria and Falls Church, Virginia is going blue. And I tell everybody, this Virginia is starting to become the southern chapter of New York State. Anybody that lives in New York State knows that the city and the surrounding suburbs run the state, and the rest of the state get nothing. But anyway, since all these liberal, pinko, America-hating commies moved from New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, all these other blue states because their states are toilet, and they took over, they're taking over the assembly come January, counties are declaring themselves sanctuaries for the Second Amendment. What this means is that the local county sheriff or police chief will not enforce state law when it comes to taking somebody's firearms. They'll still enforce the gun laws that are on the books, criminal possession of a weapon or discharging a weapon or using a weapon in for a felony, in the commission of a felony. But in terms of enforcing Virginia laws, they're not going to use local money to enforce state laws or Commonwealth laws to grab your guns. More than 40 local governments have passed resolutions to protect citizens' Second Amendment rights against the potential laws they say are unconstitutional. And, of course, it's all the rural counties in Virginia. None of the counties, none of the jurisdictions near the Beltway or near Washington, D.C. support this because, again, they want to take your guns. They want to bring their failed policies, their failed ideas from up north and from the left coast to Virginia. So you got some guy, some girl near the Kentucky border that legally possessed firearms, never got in trouble with law, doing, you know, going about their business. Well, somebody in Arlington County wants to take them from you. But anyways, professor at the University School of Law's name is Richard Schrager, said that the said it's mostly a political statement and it's not enforceable. But well, we had Liberty News Radio Network had Sheriff Richard Mack. He has a thing to say what's enforceable, what's not enforceable. Anybody look up Richard Mack? He actually went to the Supreme Court to fight the government about taking people's guns. In Virginia, state law supersedes local laws. Citizens and local officials have to comply with state law, even if a county declares itself to be a Second Amendment sanctuary, Schrager added. Well, my question is, if Virginia law supersedes local laws, does federal law supersede state law because is in terms of illegal immigration? I mean, you can't have one or the other. It's either enforce the law or don't enforce the law. You know, illegal immigrants can come in and get anything they want. They can go about their business. They can drive drunk, run people over with driving cars that have no insurance and still get to stay here. Local jurisdictions are not supposed to enforce cooperate with immigration, but local jurisdictions that don't want to cooperate with the state or the Commonwealth for enforcing unconstitutional gun laws, are they supposed to comply there? I mean, like Chris Plant from WML here in DC says, if it wasn't for double standards, the left would have no standards at all. Walt, what's your opinion of this great move on counties in Virginia to stand up for the Second Amendment?
Virginia has been around probably one of the longest. It's part of the original colonies, before they even had 13 colonies. It's been around a long time. I don't know why Virginia is such a popular place. Probably because of Virginia Beach, I'd have to say, is why Virginia is a popular place. But to make it, a sanctuary area for people to come in and then an area where you have guns and they want to take them away. You know, I don't have a problem with, you know, getting rid of Virginia and New York and California and putting 47 stars on my flag that I fly out every day, proud. If they want to do these things individually instead of nationally, I just don't know what to say. You know, it's like a child with a bedroom, you know, in that has parents. And I know this is a weird analogy, but you just shouldn't be able to do anything you want in your bedroom. You know, considering Virginia being a bedroom, you know, as a child, you can't do that. You can't paint the walls over. You know, you can't rip the carpet. You can't do none of that stuff. And the way the nation is now, because I'm watching this judiciary, you know, committee, you know, itty bitty titty committee here on TV. It's such a freaking joke. You know, the rest of the world has Fox News and they're watching it too. You know, and they're like laughing at it. You know, we're not paying attention to the things that we need to pay attention to. And that's why Virginia is going to get away with what they're trying to do. It's why California's gotten away with what they've done, New York, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, bottom line is we have an election coming next year. And, you know, you can try to impeach this president beforehand. He's still going to run. I mean, it doesn't eliminate him from office, and it doesn't eliminate him from running. So the things in Virginia... man, that's your neck of the woods. Maybe you need to strap up and, you know, get some good sneakers on, you know, like we used to have to do in the jail cell. You know, get ready for a fight, but, you know, take care of us up there in the Northeast.
Well, I'm thinking of actually moving to Tennessee because, again, I've been living in this area over a decade now, and I still hate it. You know, they say, oh, it'll grow on you. I still hate it. I mean, the traffic's worse than New York. The people here are worse than New York. They all self-centered, self-righteous, so just gosh darn liberal. And they want to impose, you know, the county I live in is one of those counties like, oh, you can be you're born a boy, you can be a girl and use a girl's restroom and girl's locker room or what have you. But I'm actually looking to move because the cost of living here is getting too out of control. The taxes are too out of control. I had to pay $300-something on a personal property tax on my automobile. Now, mind you, when I bought my car, I had to pay sales tax on it. I pay gas tax every time I put the gasoline in my car. I got to pay sales tax on any parts I buy for my car. I pay sales tax when I get my car repaired, but I still had to pay the county $300, and then on top of that, I had to pay $36 for a registration fee just for have my car garaged in the county that I live in. That's why there's so many people from New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. They're rolling around the Beltway with their home tags because they don't want to pay the tax. You know, they want to come here for all the benefits, but they want to skirt the tax. And, you know, it's, you know, again, it's the double standard. And, you know, Tennessee, you better watch out. Take a look at Virginia, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, and Florida, and Georgia to see what's happening. All these people from these Northeast states that are just total toilets. People say, hey, we're going to let's move states and go somewhere else. So they move state, go somewhere, go to your state. And guess what? They want to bring the same crap ideas. Jim Lance was telling me one time when he was living in West Virginia, he met a couple from Baltimore that left Maryland because of the taxes, the regulations, and the dangers. And he said, and these idiots at the dinner table said, you know what this neighborhood needs? This neighborhood needs more black people. And Jim couldn't believe what he heard because these people moved away from dangerous black people and they want to bring them to West Virginia. And, you know, that's just crazy. And, you know, luckily the people of West Virginia, they saw this over 100 something years ago. They separated from Virginia. So that's why we have West Virginia and Virginia, because you had Virginia separating from Virginia. But that was way in the past. So, I mean, we need to have, I don't know if we need to take more stars off the flag or put more stars on the flag, because this is just getting ridiculous. I don't know where to move to, because, I mean, Virginia's turned into another New York, another Illinois. Texas and start, you know, they got in Texas, they got to say, don't California, Texas, because so many people are moving from California to Texas because California is in such a mess. And California, if California was a nation by itself, it'd have the fifth biggest economy on the entire planet. But you got people like Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown and just ruining the state with taxes and regulations and fees and letting every third world piece of garbage hop the fence. You go into neighborhoods like Watts, which was all black. Now it's all Mexican. But anyways, another show in the can. This is Peter Scoop standing for Walter Yerku. Reminding everybody, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. Be safe. Have a good week, everybody. So long.
Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.